Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Right. It's not my suitcase. Hopefully you'd guess that one. It's my wife's cow suitcase. How many of you got a grey one or a black suitcase? Well, Jane, when she went shopping, she had to come back with something like that. You know, I went... When I go away sometimes, I say, do you want to take my suitcase? And it's like, no, I think I'll take a grey one, thanks very much. Excellent. Now, how many of you know that we live out of what we have on the inside of us? Yes. Everybody lives out their lives in relation to what is taking place on the inside of them. Many live their lives out of the experiences, the things they've been through in life, and some of that can be good, some of that can be not so good. Often people can live as victims of circumstances, of how they've been treated in their own personal lives. Many people, when they come to know God, obviously get set free from lots of the things that have happened in their lives and take over their lives. And when you know Jesus, then something different is on the inside of you, and therefore you begin to live from not just a different place, but you live because you have somebody different on the inside of you that has really taken ownership of who you are as a person. And so I believe God wants to ask us a question this morning. So if you want to turn to Jeremiah 29, we're going to read some things this morning. It's not so much a question. I think what we want to talk about really is, there is a question, but we really want to talk about who we are and who God wants us to be. And maybe the two illustrations we're going to give, it might pinpoint some areas in our minds and in our lives where we need to unclothe ourselves of certain things and where we need to then clothe ourselves in certain things to make sure we're really living who we are in God. Now, we're going to have communion this morning, and so I want to give a bit of space for that because of what I believe God wants to do in terms of our personal response, but then also what he wants to do, I think, between us as we have communion together. Now, last week we spoke about and reminded us of the covenant that we have been making towards our towns, the places where we live, that God had challenged us, didn't he, to say, will you make covenant with your town? Will you make covenant with the people where you live? In the same way that God has made covenant with us. And the essence of covenant is, I will never, ever leave you, and I will never, ever forsake you. And so God has made covenant with you and me and with us as a body, saying that very statement, that he's never, ever going to leave us and never, ever going to forsake us. And we make that covenant in response also back to him, saying, Father, we want to, I want to, we want to make that same response to you, that you are covenant in with us. But God seems to be wanting to go a step further and saying, okay, if you're in covenant with me and I'm in covenant with you, then I want that covenant to overflow and to outwork out beyond just your own life together, but I want that to overflow out into the people that are around you, where you live, in your town, your community, wherever you live and are reaching out to. And Jane came and shared a few minutes about what God's been getting us to do at the end of our garden and just ripping out absolutely everything. I'd like to, at this point, just, it's a work in progress, but I want to thank particularly Adrian. I don't know if he's here this morning, but Phil Ball also. These two guys have done an awesome job in our garden. I mean, we've been out there doing some stuff as well, but they, this week, ripped everything out else out at the end, some trees and all kinds of stuff that were down there, and have started shifting all the earth around. And you can now, I mean, we're not, you know, gardeners as such. So when somebody says, if we rip that out and do this, it will be amazing. We're kind of like, I believe you. And but it's really beginning to take shape now. But God has spoken to us, and Jane shared last week, that what he's doing there with the end of our garden in terms of then what we're to plant, that he wants us to remove everything that might look good, that is taking food or water or sustenance out of the ground, and he wants us to remove all of that because he wants us to plant new crops, because he wants to produce something new with that space. And so we've been needing to make space, and God has paralleled that with us as a church, that God is wanting to make space, or we're to make space in our own lives for God to come and do something fresh and new so that he can produce something new in our own personal lives, but also in our corporate life, but through us as a church in a greater way than we've seen before. And so I really want to follow on really from that this week and just read some verses here and just share a little bit and give a couple of examples and use obviously these two things that I've got here to illustrate the point. So if we just look at Jeremiah 29 verse 5. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now there's an awesome few verses there, just three verses. But we're going to talk about we're going to parallel two things. We're going to talk about a builder, and we're going to talk about a suitcase, okay? Now, God has called us to be builders. He's not called us to be suitcases, okay? With suitcase comes a mentality, and we're going to look at that in a minute. But what is God saying at this time? He's saying, build houses and settle down. There's something where God is wanting us to think beyond just the moment. Now, we live in the moment, but what we do in this moment determines what happens in the next one. And there's a question that we need to ask ourselves this morning. Are we going to be a builder? If I can actually get this thing on. It's quite heavy, this thing, so if you see me buckle under the weight, then I don't even know if I can. Cool. It's a fashion accessory, isn't it? Anyway, does it look any good? I've got a mic there, but be careful of that. Okay, put my hard hat on. Okay, so God has called us. What do you reckon? It's a bit big, but never mind. Whichever way, anyway. Whose ever hat, you're going to have loads of gel in it after this. So, build houses and settle down. So he's calling us to do something that's going to last a long time. He's saying to us, I want you to take root. I want you to create some foundations. And I want you to fill those things and create a platform in which something can be built upon. Now, that's what's happened in this last generation of time. That foundations have been dug and have been laid and have been filled. And now we're at the point where now God wants to build something that's going to last for beyond a generation of time. And so he's saying here, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Don't just build something that's going to last a moment. Build something that's going to last beyond a generation, but also invest into the ground because it's going to produce life and life that you can live from. Then he says, marry and have sons and daughters and find for your wives for your sons. Well, we know that obviously people have got married in the church and people do find husbands and wives. But what is God talking about? He's talking about thinking generationally. That what we invest today is going to produce tomorrow. What we do today, what we don't do today won't produce tomorrow either. And so the challenge here is that God wants us to be builders. God wants us to see that we are workers in a harvest field, that we are workers in his kingdom. And he gives us, I don't even know what's in this tool belt. What is in this thing? Have a look. John, here we go. Look at that. Cool. Has anybody got one of these at home? God, it smells a bit, man. What else we got? Got a hammer. This is a pastoral instrument. That, you know, when you have those difficult moments, you get the hammer out. Right. Nobody's going to ask me for pastoral help. Screwdriver, I don't know what else we've got in here. Tape measure. One of those. Anybody know what that's called? Ah, some DIYs in the church, in the house. These, what are they called? Pliers. All the blokes are going, pliers. All the wives are going, pliers! Stanley knives! Screwdrivers, nudging their husband. Remember what it looks like. You now need to use it. What else do we have? There's something in the back pocket here. His hat's a bit big. Oh, it's a tape measure. Men, lads, what's that called?
Tape measure.
What do you do with it?
Measure.
Measure what? You measure how much shopping your wife has done. Or depending on how big the suitcase is that she's got out the cupboard, determines what kind of holiday you're going to go on, right? If the little overnight comes along, you think, great, it's going to be a cheap one. If a couple of big suitcases come out, it's like, we're going to fly somewhere and it's going to be expensive, okay? So how many of your wives drop hints like that? No blokes would dare put their hands up here unless their wives are not here this morning. But we are recording, so we can show your wife later. Okay, let's put that away before I hurt myself. Okay, we're going to come back to this one in a minute. So how many of you want to be builders? Now, over here is a suitcase. What do we have in the suitcase? You're going to love this. Okay, you ready? Okay. You see, there's two mentalities you can have this morning. One is to be a builder, where you're going to... Oh, I'm going to regret this, but anyway. Where you're going to build, you're going to plant, and you're going to think generationally. The other one is to have a suitcase mentality, which is what? It's to have a holiday mentality. When you have a holiday mentality, there's a number of things that come with it, okay? Let's just have a few things. I'm going to wear this for a while just to keep your attention, okay? If nothing else, you'll at least remember, don't be a holiday person in terms of your mentality. It's great to go on holiday, but we don't live there, okay? Have a look at this. If we are a suitcase person, if we're thinking holiday, okay, we live for the moment. We don't want to put any roots down. We're only here for a short while. We're only visiting. If you're a suitcase, if you're holiday mentality, we complain if things are not right. What happens if you're a builder? You don't complain, but you actually become part of the solution. I can't keep swapping from that to that. It would take two. No, let's do it. This is heavy, this. Right. Put my hat there. It's not. It's all right. I'm just having a bit of a play up here this morning, but you just happen to be listening. Right. Okay, let's do a couple of parallels. Builders, holiday mentality. Those who are going to invest in the future generationally and see God transform things. Those who are just living for the moment. Okay. If you're a builder, you understand the future is determined by what you do today. The holiday mentality is you live for the moment. If you're a builder, then you invest in relationships, people and family. If you're on holiday, you don't want to put any roots down. You don't invest in anybody because you're there just to have a good time. Number three, a builder doesn't complain. He's part of the solution. You're on holiday, if it's not what you want, you complain because you've paid to be there and everybody's supposed to run around you. Number four, a builder understands that you have a part to play. Work is to believe, but there's a labour of love that is involved. On holiday, you don't want to work. You're just there to chill out and do absolutely nothing. Work is 2 weeks, 3 weeks away, and you just want to forget it. Number five, a builder... He lives his life to affect others' lives and to see others' lives being changed. On holiday, it just becomes a series of memories. There's nothing to show for it because you're not there to invest. You're just there to enjoy yourself. Number six, the builder lives a life of purpose. On holiday, you live a life of pleasure. Number seven, a builder builds a home creates an environment of hospitality, a place to come and dwell. A holidaymaker visits, he comes and goes because he's only there for a bit and then he'll go somewhere else. I don't know what you want to be, but I want to be this fella, somebody who's going to build. Although the hat is very nice, it looks good on Megan, and the suitcase, it's very cool, my love, but I'd rather be a builder that's going to affect somebody's life and see God come through and change not just mine or my family's, but my neighbours and the other people we're reaching out to, the town, the community, and beyond. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. There's three generations involved in there. Increasing number there, do not decrease. It's time for us to increase. It's time for us to increase. There are many, many people that we're reaching every week and every month through the life of who we are in different ways, whether it's one-to-one, things that we're organised in terms of how we're reaching out in the community through Love Horsham and everything. There are many, many people, hundreds if not thousands of people, definitely in the hundreds, but we had 3,500 unsaved people with us at the anniversary fun day. So we have contact. There's over 3,500 people in the community that trust us. They feel safe enough to come to an event that's run by the church, and they're going to have a great time, they're going to enjoy it, they feel they can trust us. I mean, that if people didn't trust us as a church, they'd never turn up. Now God wants to link our upward dynamic of what we know in God and the strength that we have in the things of God with all of the outreach and the love that we are reaching out with. Now what he wants to do is bring all of that together and see not only our lives transformed, but many, many thousands of others' lives transformed in our community, in the towns that we're reaching out into. And he says here, I think this is amazing, where he talks about building, planting gardens and eat what they produce. One of the things that God said to us about our garden, you know, it's not, you're not the only ones who are going to eat of it. You're going to actually be able to give some away to people that need it. But it's a prophetic action that you're doing with the end of your garden. It's not just that he wants us to do an allotment so that we just get into having a bit of thing at the end of our garden. But he's doing it as a prophetic statement, saying you need to clear the ground, you need to make room for fresh growth, and you're gonna eat the fruit of the land, but it's not just for you, it's what's going to happen to all these other people that you're making space for, that are going to become planted, who are going to grow, and they're also going to flourish in the same ground that you have. But instead of you taking all the ground for yourself, you're now making room in that ground for others to come and be planted in, to be rooted in, to be established in, to be not just housed in, but so they can have a home and to dwell in that same place also. So they become dwellers and people in the land with you. Then what does it say here in verse 7? Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if your town prospers or your city prospers, then you will prosper. You know, centuries ago, the church used to be right at the core, at the center of decision making at every level of society. The church has pioneered what has now become the national health system, what is now the youth services. You know, many other things in society, Christians at the forefront of scientific discoveries and all kinds of things like that where Christians are right at the forefront of that, because God is the creator. God is the one who can reveal things that are already in his word and make them known. And then we understand how the cosmos, how the universe, everything is already stated in the book here. And we just suddenly come across it and realize actually God was there before we ever were. And so Christians have been right at the heart. And I believe that God is wanting to restore the church back to a place in society where we really are at the core of everything going on. Right at the heart of every sphere of life, so that God's kingdom life and influence can come into every aspect of society. Right from our neighbour, our communities, right to the high end of politics and of education, of media, and of all these different areas that influence life and shape life and thinking out there, that God wants to restore people that are coming with a heart to serve and a heart of humility. Why? Because we come with this mentality. We're here for long term. We're here because we're generational. We're here because we're not just holiday makers who want to visit and have a great time and see what we can get out of it, but we're part of something. We're covenanting, first of all, with a body of people that we're part of, saying, I'll never ever leave you and never ever forsake you. I'm wanting to covenant with each other. I want to covenant with the town where we are, where you might live, because I want to reach into that town and see people's lives that are covenanting themselves with all kinds of other things, with loneliness and with drunkenness or with family breakdown, whatever. There's covenant, if you like. They don't realize that's what's going on, but they're making covenant with all kinds of things in their lives because they haven't found what they're looking for. We're coming with another covenant, one that's so much higher. And God wants to break the curses of those covenants that people have found themselves in because of life. And he wants to re-covenant them with himself, to bring them into a body of people that aren't just looking for the latest thing. They're not just looking for something to happen that we can all be part of. But there's a people that are saying, we're going to establish, we're going to build, we're going to plant things. We're going to be here for the welfare of the town, the welfare of the city, the welfare of the people. We're going to be here whether come hell or high water. We're here because God is here and he wants to transform things. And therefore, we're going to give ourselves to what God has given himself to. Why do we sometimes have a holiday mentality? Maybe sometimes we have a holiday mentality because fear has gripped our lives. Therefore, we're afraid to make covenant with people. We're afraid to let others into our lives because of things that have happened before. Will I be let down? Do they really want to be a friend? Do they really want to know me, or do they just want to use me for their own gains in some way? Many people filter people, relationships, everything they come across through their experience and their hurt, their pain, and all the stuff that is going on in their lives. And so therefore, often when those things are dominant in life and in people's lives, they back off from what actually is going to bring health and wholeness and healing, bring destiny, future purpose into their life. So many people, although they're looking for something to change them, they just live for the now so that they can numb some of the pain that is going on. So they can just survive whatever they're going through that day. So it's like, well, at least if I can just live with a holiday mentality and live, at least then I can last till tomorrow and get there. For many out there, there's no concept of building something that's going to have longevity to it. Now, we know many people out there, they're not riddled with all kinds of things like some people are, and maybe some on the outside look like they're building a good life with their job and their house and their cars and their lifestyle. But how many of you know and remember from last week when we talked about from 2 Kings 2 that the town is well situated but the water is bad and the land is unproductive? No matter what things look like, inherently, everybody out there is on holiday. Because anything that is not eternal is temporal. So everybody out there is on holiday at this time. They're trying to fill their suitcase with all kinds of things. They're trying to create an image. I know this isn't a very good one at this moment, but a builder with a pink hat on, with a suitcase. Thanks, mate, yeah. Anyway, I am secure in my sexuality. But see, we're here really to bring that healing. Now, what's the underlying thing? Man, we've got to be more dependent on the Holy Spirit now than we ever, ever, ever have before. We can have strategies. We can have good intentions. We can have the right heart. We can have the right motives. We can do all the right stuff. But underlying all of that, there must be a dependency on the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit that can transform lives. It's only the Holy Spirit that can work through us and reach people with love, with compassion, with grace, with mercy. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to just come upon us in a fresh way this morning. And there's a number of things I believe God wants to do. For some of you today here, if you know there's certain things where you know you have a holiday mentality, where it's like, well, I only want to let people so close because of things that have happened before. God wants to break that off your life this morning so that instead of going around with a pink hat on or going around with a mentality of, well, I only want to let people so far, I only want people to visit me. I don't want people to make covenant with me. Because covenant means I've got responsibility. Covenant means I'm going to have to give. I'm going to have to lay my life. I'm going to have to open up my heart, my life to somebody. So I'd rather just stay on holiday because it's a bit easier. It's less personal. It's less involved in my life. Maybe there's fear there for whatever reasons. And God wants to shatter that fear today so that you can become a builder in every sense. You might already have some of this in you, but if there's restrictions, one day you're going to be a builder, the next day you're going to be on holiday. One day, and how many of you know, if you're not going to be a builder, it's really difficult to make covenant with God, with others, and then to what God wants to do. And so God is calling us at this time, not just in a meeting to make a response to the covenant thing. It's like God is working a process in us at this time about making covenant with him, with one another, and with his purpose, which is to reach people and to see the communities that we live in, the towns, the cities that we live in, transformed with the power of the gospel. And so I just want to read from Colossians 3, if you want to turn there for a moment, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to have communion this morning. And we're going to be ministering to one another today as well, and having a time where we're going to be praying for each other and having an opportunity to share things that God is saying to one another so we can minister and speak life. And as God speaks to you in some small groups this morning, 3-4 people, you're going to have the opportunity to pray, to speak God's word over their lives and to see God touch other people's lives. So it's like the ministry of what God wants to do this morning is going to be, you know, with all of us and through all of us. It's not going to be a response necessarily down here for ministry, but we're going to minister to one another in the power of the Holy Spirit today. And people are going to be encouraged. People are going to be strengthened. Some people are going to be set free. Others are going to get healed this morning. But you're going to go out of this place like charged and saying, Father, I thank you that I'm part of a people of covenant, of people who want to build houses, who want to plant, who want to sow into the ground, who want to see something fresh happen, people who want to pray for the town, the city. Because if the city prospers, we're all going to prosper. Let's have a look at Colossians 3 for a minute. Just want to read from the beginning, the first 17 verses. Now, the first four verses here are our builder mentality. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, the next few verses, this is what a builder does in terms of putting off all of these things. But what we're going to read is what a holiday or suitcase person lives in, okay? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. This is what the suitcase people live, the holiday mentality live. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of the wrath of God, because of the wrath of God is coming, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So the holiday person, the person who doesn't want to build, or they're just thinking, I want to live for the moment, is somebody who needs to put off some things because they're just living in those things. A builder says, if some of those things come my way, I'm not going to clothe myself in those, because there's some other things that being a builder determines what I'm going to clothe myself in, what I'm going to live in, what I'm going to look like as a believer. Let's have a look at the next few verses. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So the builder here, as far as the word is concerned, says you're a chosen person, holy and dearly loved. Now clothe yourself. Put on compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humility. put on gentleness, put on patience. They're all fruit of the Spirit, aren't they? Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have. See, what does a holiday person do? If I don't like it, I'll go somewhere else. If I don't like it, I'm going to complain. See, what does a builder do? A builder says, if a problem comes my way, then I want to help to solve it. I'm going to work through it. Even though circumstances might be tough, even though there might be issue that comes up with somebody else. Because the word says here, a builder is somebody who forgives whatever grievances that somebody else may have or I may have with another. I'm going to unclothe myself of those things and put on forgiveness, put on compassion, put on humility and humble myself. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. God's challenging Jane and I at this time in this whole area of love. And first of all, you know, just to love one another, because we've been married 22 years and we've never really loved each other. But we're just realizing now that that's what you're supposed to do. And no, just needed to wake up for a moment. And but, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been married, how long you've known people, whatever friendships you've got. There's always something deeper, isn't there? There's always further. There's always more. There's a greater richness in that relationship, whether it's a marriage or a friendship, a family life, whatever it is. There's something so much richer and deeper. You know, it's a journey that we're on. And God's challenging us at this time really about loving people and how we love people and how we make space, more space for people in our lives and everything. And so if God's doing that with us, he's going to do it in you as well, because we're not going to go through it on our own. Okay, so... But then it says here, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell, live in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Builders clothe themselves with the things of God. Builders live with the clothing of God. Compassion, grace, mercy, slow to anger, rich in love, forgiving quickly, showing, if you like, godly virtue, gentleness, patience, those kind of things. They're the things we build with. I know I've got some tools here, but it's just so that you remember what we've been taught about this morning. But the tools we build with are not hats and electric gizmos. We build with the nature and with the character of God in our lives. See, God builds people. You know, it'd be easy to talk about building church, but actually we're not called to build the church. We're called to build people. We're called to invest in people. What does a builder do? A builder is going to think long term. He wants to find a plot of land, something that he can build on, not just for the moment, but something that's going to last a long time. Somebody's going to build a house and saying, I want this not just to be for me, but the ones that are coming after me. So a builder's looking for a place to develop family, to develop relationships. He's looking for a place to invest in. If we're going to be long term, then there's a word that is really key, is endurance. Sometimes we need to endure with one another a bit. But how many of you know that the world doesn't just get changed in a moment? So we need that endurance to keep moving forward. Endurance comes from having a vision. Endurance comes from being convinced of what God has said to you. Endurance is key, because when sometimes there's opposition or there's a battle on, or something is being done in society that is opposite to what God wants to do, there's some endurance that then and stickability that says, no, we're going to keep enduring and keep moving and keep going until we see what God has said. We are not going to be put off from the purpose and destiny that God has called us to, individually and together. Amen. And the endurance is key in that. We got generational thinking in there also, if we're going to be builders. Somebody who has a holiday mentality doesn't really make any plans. He's not looking for any ground to establish anything in. He's just looking for a great place to have a great time. And when they've had enough great time, or they get cheesed off, or something doesn't go their way, then they up with their suitcase and leave and go somewhere else. Why? Because these kind of situations, you don't put any roots down. So it's easy come, easy go. And we've been called to live so much more than that. And so we're going to have a time where we're going to just respond personally, but also then we're going to have communion together this morning. And we're going to minister to each other in terms of what God wants to do this morning. So let's stand, shall we? If we can have the guys up here. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how clear this has come across this morning, but I don't know about you, but I want to be a builder. And a builder is a person of covenant. A builder is somebody who's looking long term. A builder is somebody who wants to invest in the future. And you invest in the future by investing into today, don't you? You only get finances in the future from an investment if you put something into it today. You know, you can put a little in today and in 15, 20 years it can produce a lot that you just wouldn't be able to come up with that amount in a moment. But yet a small amount, week by week, month by month, can produce something great to pass on to the next generation. That doesn't really cost you a lot on the way, or it might be a little bit tight here and there. But to suddenly have to come up with a whole inheritance in a moment when there's been no investment is very difficult. And so we reap tomorrow what we sow today and what we invest today. So we want to be builders in God's house and as part of God's house. We want to be people that provide a great dwelling place for others to become part of, a great home. You know, sometimes we call it the house of God. Well, it is, but God wants it to be a place that's more like a home. Because sometimes you can visit a house, but when you have a home, you live in it. You're part of it, and you develop something within a home. And you make it a place, that a welcoming place, a place that people want to be, a place where people want to come to, a place that people love to be part of, a place that people, they can't wait to come back there because there was something about that home environment, something about the people, something about the way they were hosted, looked after, treated, and everything, where people say, man, I love that place, I want to go back. And creating a great home isn't about how much money you have or how big your house is or how lavish it is furnished or all the gimmicks and toys and all that you might have in your house, you know, that everybody likes. It's not about big or small or anything. It's about you and me as people. Anything we have in our houses, they're just temporal things we can use to bless people, serve people. God connects with us as people so that we can connect with Him. But then He wants us to connect with other people so that He can also connect with them as well. Whatever you have in your life, use it for the glory of God. Whether you have loads or whether you have a little, use all of it to glorify God. But let's not limit ourselves by thinking, well, I need to have all this sort of stuff to bless people. No, you don't. Because sometimes we can have a lot and it doesn't bless people. Sometimes you can have not a lot and you can be a massive blessing. So it's not about what you do or don't have. It's about you and what you have. You have the riches of Christ in you. And from the overflow of the riches of who Christ is in you, His nature, His character, He wants to flow through your life to share those riches with others. And so this morning, let's just take a couple of moments before we have communion. Let's just unclothe ourselves if there is anything we need to unclothe ourselves from. If you just want to close your eyes for a moment and just be intimate with Him for the moment. We're just going to read through some of these verses. Put to death, therefore. Let's put to death some things this morning if there is any of these that need putting to death. Whatever belongs to the earthly nature. If there's any sexual immorality that needs to be put to death this morning, you need to put the sword of the Spirit through it this morning and crucify it with the truth. You know, if there's any sexual immorality, sometimes we relate that to maybe adultery or something outside marriage or whatever. But, you know, sexual immorality can be looking at things on the internet. It can be looking at the opposite sex in a way that is lustful, is selfish in its desire. Paul talks about in Ephesians, don't even give lust a hint. Don't even give it a millimetre because it will have you if you give it any space. If there's any of that, just declothe yourself this morning. Just repent of anything. If there's impurity this morning, impurity of agenda or motive or desire. Again, that could be with towards people. It could be just impurity. Just in different areas of your life. Lust, evil desires and greed. You know, if there's any of these areas, let's declothe ourselves of those this morning. You just simply need to stand before God and take them off and say, right, if there's any lust in your life this morning, lust, it might not be a sexual lust. It could be a lust for material possessions. It could be lust for just your career. Something that on the inside of you just long to be successful for a selfish motive. It could be lust for all kinds of different reasons. Evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Then it talks about dealing with anger, rage, malice and slander. You know, if there's any anger where you rise up, just declothe yourself. Don't just listen to me at the moment. You just talk with the Lord and deal with it. If there's any anger, any malice, anything where you want revenge or towards anybody else, where there's rage in some way, malice, slander. If you know you've been slanderous towards other people, just declothe yourself. Repent of that this morning. Because that's not you. That's not what you look like in Christ. So let's just take off those things right now. Anything that we might need to declothe ourselves. And you do that firstly by repenting, acknowledging that there's something to get rid of. Say, Father, I just declothe myself right now. Repent of these attitudes, motives, desires, whatever they are. I take them off this morning. They're not me. Filthy language. Anybody that struggles with swearing or filthy language, crude jokes, that kind of stuff. Just declothe yourself. So that's not me any longer. That's not my identity in Christ. That's not who I am. That's not the shape on the inside of me. I've got Christ on the inside. That's my shape. That's my identity. So I declothe myself of anything right now that of these things that's not of me. Do not lie, since you have taken off the old self. Just remove lies now. If you know that you I don't know, sometimes you tend to add a little bit to make it sound a bit more. You kind of evangelize the truth, not the biblical truth, but in situations, or you just don't quite tell the whole truth and you kind of just put something onto it to help relieve the pressure you might get from somebody else. I don't know, maybe you out and out lie about stuff. Just declothe yourself. That's not you. You have the spirit of truth in your life. Declothe yourself if the old self with its practices, and put on the new self right now in the knowledge of the image of your Creator, Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Now we're going to clothe ourselves. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Just take hold of that garment of compassion right now. The enemy wants people to stand with guilt and shame and everything and say, you can't clothe yourself in compassion because you're not good enough, you're not loving enough, you're not kind enough. But just put the devil to one side and ignore him this morning. Say, thanks a lot, devil, for reminding me who I've already been set free from. Thanks for reminding me that that's not my identity anymore, so now you can get lost, and I'm just going to clothe myself afresh with compassion. So just put it on right now, compassion. Clothe yourselves with kindness right now. Just humble yourself this morning. Clothe yourself with humility. Part of clothing yourself with humility, there might be somebody you need to go and ask forgiveness for this morning, where you know you've been out of sorts with them. Things are not right in some way. Maybe putting on humility this morning is to go to that person and say, hey, I just want to humble myself and I want to ask forgiveness. We've not seen eye to eye and we've been out of sorts with each other. I want you to forgive me. I'm sorry for my part in that and what I've said or what I've done or how I've treated you. That takes a bit of character to do that. But let's clothe ourselves with humility and not just say, well, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do this. It takes two to tango. Let's clothe ourselves with humility today. with gentleness, with patience. Just put it on right now. As you got your eyes closed, you stand before Him. Just see yourself take hold of those garments and say, Father, I thank You for compassion right now. I thank You right now for patience, for humility, for kindness, for gentleness. And then it says, put on over all of these virtues. You know, these are virtues that we've been talking about. They're virtues of God's character and nature. He says, put on over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. What a great verse. In perfect unity. Just take hold of love afresh right now. Maybe just raise your hands for a minute. Just take hold of love right now. Father, I thank You for the spirit of love. Father, I know I already have the spirit of love, but Father, I thank You for a fresh release of that spirit of love in my life right now. And I just clothe myself right now over all these other virtues with the greatest virtue of all, which is Your love. Thank You that as I clothe myself, You come upon a Give me afresh right now with Your Holy Spirit. And as you clothe yourself with love right now, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ come upon you right now. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Just be thankful. Full of thanksgiving right now. Just thank Him that some stuff has been taken off your life and now there's been a fresh clothing of His nature and character put on. Just thank Him for what He's doing in you right now. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. As you sing psalms and hear spiritual songs, let's just lift our voices for a moment, shall we? Let's just worship Him. Just sing out to Him right now.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.